RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Now, on Wednesday, last Wednesday, the 23rd of October, on this program, Erica Harvey, Director for Public Affairs at Lobby for Good in Tauranga, was here, and she was telling us about an asset being sold by unelected commissioners without due process, and that related to the Marine Precinct. There was a deal to sell the Marine Precinct to a private owner for $14 million, while ratepayers are asked to fund $30 million in upgrades. Well, as they say, the story has legs, so we thought we would touch base with Erica again from Lobby for Good, who went on after our show. I'm sure she did a few other things before, but eventually in the afternoon to that meeting, Tauranga City Council, the presentation that Erica did is on video. I've watched it and many people have watched it. Erica, thanks for coming back.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so people, if they were listening last week, they'll remember you here and pretty well the bullet point details of what we were talking about. There are plenty of details related to it, but the overarching issue. So
yeah.
I made the point that this deal was talked about, what, before the deal was made, but the deal was made by unelected officials fundamentally, right?
Yes, that's right. It was put through under Ann Tolley and the commissioners. And so, yeah, that's when this, and we only found out about it in May, apparently the day after it went unconditional is when they disclosed it to the public. And then Ann Tolley gave a speech at like the Commercial Fishing Federation with all of these basically fake solutions that would be available for the commercial fleets and those in the marine industry.
I've seen a few pictures of the Marine Precinct. It looks like a serious kind of setup, right? We're not just talking about a few amateur hour boat enthusiasts here. This is like a serious setup.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like the reason why it's become such a point, this whole discussion, is that over the years, Tauranga City Council have basically closed down, condemned, and haven't maintained all of the other public access sites, like other wharfs that were around town, which then isolated everyone to this one little area. And so you've got everything from like charity vessels, work boats, you've got commercial fishing, you've got some tugboats. There's all different types of people and basically in the marine industry as a whole that utilize this space. And they are being pushed out for super yachts that they think will come to Tauranga.
Yeah, yeah. Class warfare.
Yeah.
In other words, fundamentally, it's always at the bottom of it. All right. So yeah. The private owner got it for $14 million. Ratepayers are asked to fund $30 million in upgrades. How much How much of a good deal was that at $14
million? I mean, I would say it's under $14 million, so we rounded up to $14 million, but I would say it was a half-off discount
based on
what the assets were. And if they would have gone out for public tender, then you would have definitely achieved more than and probably even what it was worth, I would imagine, because it is a prime area, which is why I also think it's interesting that they downgraded it from a strategic asset to a non-strategic asset. And the reason that's really important is because the moment that they did that, by their own, well, what their lawyers are saying to me is that it meant they didn't have to go out to have a proper kind of consultation that I would have assumed something like this would have.
Okay, so that was a bit of shop window dressing for the deal.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I think a lot of things that we see often and is that they're pretty pictures. And I was saying this to other people. It all goes back to the power of lobbying.
Yeah.
And if we're not participating in it as like everyday people, and you've got people who have the money and the finances to lobby for something and present data and pretty pictures, and if we're not across what's going on, you know, I think this is a big problem that we have. I'd like to see some real regulations around the lobby industry so we know who's talking to who about what, and we can kind of track down why these deals are happening, where they're coming from, and be more on the front foot instead of always trying to play catch up.
So that move was to clear the way, let's say, for this to happen. You could possibly argue that. Now, that presentation that you did, and we may play a bit of it before we're done this morning here at RCR, but that presentation, I see you're saying it went viral. How far and wide did it go, and what sort of reaction have you had to it?
It's been interesting because I wasn't sure how it would be, how it would go. But I called for the public to let them know that the conversation was happening. So when we entered where council chambers currently are at the moment, it was packed. They couldn't fit. They only had a number of seats, so not everyone could fit in. And then there were a bunch of people there who were live streaming this this public forum. And, you know, I think Kirsten Murfitt's, one of her lives is close to 50,000. Someone else has one that I saw 140,000. So yeah, depending on where you're looking and where it's at, it's gone pretty, I never thought
that's a big council meeting.
Yeah.
If you want to do the numbers, run the numbers, right?
Yeah. I would say it's the most popular council meeting they've ever had.
I've seen what Kirsten has written. Many of our listeners would have already. You mentioned whistleblowers now. So this has obviously sort of shaken the tree a bit. What has come to you now?
Well, after I delivered that speech, what then happened was the speech kind of put it in a way that the public could understand quite a complex issue. And then what came from that was we've had two people come forward with some information just around some, I guess you could say, other deals that didn't smell quite right. And so I pass it on to Kirsten just to do a bit of digging around and see what she could come up with and see if it was valid. Because I think for us, like this deal, I don't understand how it was even signed off. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't benefit the ratepayers of Tauranga. The investment is, none of this makes sense. And I think one thing I have read is that the commissioners that we put in, they didn't have any financial background, which I think is part of the problem here, is that if you don't really understand numbers, then it's easy to look at a pretty picture and think it's going to deliver. Well, but I've gone on a tangent. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
Well, any whistleblowing activities, other deals, and are there patterns that are similar? I don't know. Maybe there are, maybe there aren't, but that would be informing, wouldn't it? And does it involve, I think you might have answered that already, does it involve the same unelected commissioners?
No, it doesn't. What is coming across our table is how staff, consultants, and other people that are hired to work inside a council and, you know, likely this could be replicated maybe even in central government or where they've been given something that they believe is accurate and true, and it might not actually appear the way that it is being presented. So the whistleblowers we have coming forward have specific information around basically staff or consultants behaving badly, I guess we could say.
Okay. Well, and kind of using credibility, the fancy numbers that you mentioned, nice desktop publishing, that always helps, of course. But shouldn't the officials and the staff be always aware that this could be an issue and be as vigilant as hell on behalf of the ratepayers and the people of Tauranga in this case?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. But I also think that what happens in politics perhaps is that you've got elected members, well, even if you have them or you have commissioners, whatever the structure is, you don't know everything that's going on. And so you rely on experts that focus in those areas. So if you have a question, let's say the Marine Precinct, you're probably going to go and have a chat with the property lawyer. And then you're going to discuss something with, you know, maybe the person that gave you the figures and drew the pretty pictures, or, you know, you go to them to rely on them for giving you accurate information. Some stuff I found interesting when I gave that presentation on Wednesday is that it sounded like from the question time that some of the counselors had asked for specific answers to questions from staff, and they still didn't have them, even though they were relevant to what they were discussing on the Wednesday and what they were supposed to be voting on. And so those are all red flags to me, is how can you expect elected members or even commissioners or anyone to make decisions on deals and they don't have all of the information that they've asked for. And yet this meeting still went ahead. And if it wasn't for some really good elected members that we have now on council who asked the really good questions, I don't think we would have had the outcome that we had, because it really highlighted that this deal, no matter which way you spin it, is a bad deal for the ratepayer.
All right. So these other issues relate to the sale of properties, I think, on Devonport Road. And maybe there are a few others. And there are some names being, or a name being thrown around. Are we at the point of naming names yet, or is it too early?
I would probably be careful with that at the moment. As you can imagine, we're getting, you know, we're getting some emails today. So, yeah.
Okay.
But I think what it highlights is that, you know, I think if you wanted to look for something, I'm sure it wouldn't be that hard to find if we came across that very quickly. So, yeah.
And I take it you're aware of names related to the Marine Precinct as well.
Yes, that's kind of how it came to us, with the links between the Marine Precinct and then some other deals, yeah.
Okay, and well, can you say that that there are reoccurring names? Or are we talking about a whole bunch of individuals that are unrelated?
I would say that in the case that we just spoke about is similar people, and in the wider scope of other things that are now coming to us is, I guess, to be determined.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
It feels like we're kind of getting a glimpse into how, what's the expression, how the sausage is made behind the scenes, right? It feels like that.
Yeah, it does. It does feel like that. I hope that it comes out different than it looks at the moment. I mean, I only, you know, I was saying to someone the other day, we're only six, it's only been 6 days since I gave that speech. And I have still not heard yet from council, but I have heard from central government. I've asked for an independent investigation into other contracts that have come through the council. I'd kind of like to see an audit done or something. I would really like the people of Tauranga to know, where has all this money gone? Our rates are supposed to go sky high. From what I understand, just even with our elected members, what they're facing at the moment is that there is such a huge amount of debt now tied to Tauranga for growth. But if we can't fund that growth, yeah, there's a lot of questions that are happening. And to me, it goes back to what contracts have we signed up to? Where's the money going for ratepayers? How can we get the best value? How can we slow down what's going on and just take a look? Because if this is just one thing with the Marine Precinct, and we've looked under the hood just a little bit and we found some other stuff that doesn't really seem right, you know, is this a pattern for Tauranga? I mean, there's been rumors for a long time that this kind of stuff happens, but I don't think anybody's really looked. And maybe that's because it's kind of scary to look around and see what's going on. You don't really want to be the one that puts it out there. But I do think that if we can't have trust and accountability for the people that we elect to represent us, I think that as a new council, the best thing I can do for them is to show them why it's important to look at the past if we want to change the future projections of the future, you know?
Mm-hmm. It feels like, and it may not just be Tauranga, it's probably wider than that, that ratepayers have been played here a bit.
Yeah,
maybe
and
a
I
lot.
Think it just, yeah, I think it goes back to, you know, I have always said, like, you don't really become interested in politics until decisions made directly impact you or someone that you care about. And the Marine Precinct for me is that issue. It's what got me into politics. It's what had me curious about why decisions are made. I've been working in this Marine Precinct with issues since 2016. I mean, it goes way back when they put out a public memorandum that was false and tried to get the industry out back then. And we fought really hard and managed to maintain just a 4-meter space for everyone to use. So to find out in a meeting that they had sold all this work that I had spent all this time advocating and fighting for all these small businesses, you know, it was really upsetting, because I think everyone just wants to trust that everything's going, as you say. And if people tell you they're working on something, you know, we take their word for it and we keep going to work. And so, yeah. I think it is widespread. I don't think it's just Tauranga.
Following you at the council speaking was Mike Ngata, I think his name was, big manager for Moana Seafoods, big company. People are familiar with that company.
That's
and
right.
I think I didn't watch all of what he had to say, but the gist I got from what he was talking about was, given who they are, they might even be displaced from
they
using
are.
This area.
Yeah.
the way it's playing out now, which surely, I mean, that's really starting to hit up against big time business, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think, the whole impact that we were trying to show is that they're, by council's own policies anyway, they've got a an acquisitions policy that says that if they're any non-strategic asset, iwi get first right of refusal. And so what we're questioning is the moment that you downgraded the Marine Precinct from a strategic to a non-strategic asset, did you give Māori first right of refusal? And council say they did, but we've spoken and they said that they didn't. And so this is another question we have. Did you genuinely consult, or who did you consult? Because this very decision actually puts many jobs in the line that, you know, I think Moana represents 58.
100 million is the industry contribution to the local economy.
Local economy. And that's, if you count, you know, that's counting seafood and all the other work that goes on. Yeah. I mean, one of the, Sean Kelly, who also spoke, you know, he was part of refloating the arena. And, you know, so it's not just fishing. This is anyone in the marine industry. And there's nowhere else for them to go.
Yeah. Of course, that happened just off the coast there, didn't it?
Yeah.
Years ago, that was a big deal. All right, they always say, Erica, you get the most flak when you're over the target. Have you got flak, incoming flak right now?
I would, you know, from the community, the support's been massive. Everyone is like, I think they're just happy to see someone push really hard for accountability and transparency in a deal like this. So I actually haven't, from the public. The only flak I'm getting right now seems to be legal flak. But right. Luckily, I have a lawyer, so Kirsten is handling those for
Watch
me.
Watch out. Kirsten's on the case.
Yeah.
That's the flak I meant, though.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And we were expecting that that would be the case, and it is the case.
Okay, just to finish up quickly, what happens next, Erica? What happens next?
I think, so for us, I'm waiting to hear back from central government. I'm seeing if we are going to get this independent investigation that I've called on from central government. I'd like to see a scope that's actually set by the city, by the residents here, ratepayers, so that we can truly look to understand how we've gotten here and how we can learn from our mistakes to make sure that moving forward, these sorts of deals or however they're happening don't continue to happen. Because, you know, like I kind of said in my speech, I mean, the power of a city isn't based on super yachts and, you know, fancy cars. And it's about the families that live here, the people who work here, you know, raising your family. Yeah, I just, like, that's what I guess what I hope. We're going to keep play every day as it comes. We've, after the podcast that we put out yesterday and the letter that Kirsten has sent, we've, I think seven more whistleblowers have come forward with more data. Yeah. And so now we're just going, oh gosh, it seems like we've, you know, we kind of were a social enterprise. So it's not like we've got big contracts. We do everything from, you know, donations that we get from the public. Yes. And so this has been, I think what we've hit is just a little tiny piece of maybe a big kind of problem.
All right, well, let's see how that goes. And I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk about this. But in the meantime, Erica Harvey, Director of Public Affairs at Lobby for Good in Tauranga. Thanks for coming back on, Erica, and, giving us the updates. Fascinating.
Fascinating. Thanks so much for being interested. Take care.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.